Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ozzy has had an incredible season. It's just point blank. I mean, you know, if Acuña was healthy, you think about what this lineup would be doing offensively, it'd be sick, Mike. It really would be.
I mean, we got the bats. I mean, it just I'm hoping these pitchers can get it together. We saw some good signs from Ian Anderson last night out in Arizona, but we'll keep looking at it, bro. We have enough arms for this end of the pennant race in the playoffs, brother.
That's a big question. All right, we're going to talk to our man Brian Jones coming up here in just a sec. Talk some SEC on CBS, and we'll get his thoughts on what's going on around the country. Thanks to Coach Dooley for stopping by. Coach Dooley's not worried, Mike. He didn't pull any punches with this. You know, normally he's like, well, you got to be careful.
Yeah, normally he's like, well, you know, Vanderbilt has one of the best punters in the SEC, net yardage. But, no, this is a game where, look, it is what it is. You know, there's a lot of turnover. Just when, I mean, Georgia and Tennessee. I mean, this is also, it's funny, we were just talking about the big games this weekend. We'll talk to Brian Jones. This was a game for about 10 years that was big, and that's Tennessee and Florida. And it really don't mean nothing now, you know, with Tennessee and turn it around. And it just is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean anything in the big picture. They still don't like each other, and it's still a good rivalry. But, yes, you're right.
No, but Josh Heupel, his first chance to play in this game. But, I mean, you know, the great rivalry because, you know, Peyton could do everything but beat Florida. You know, people with the infamous, and maybe younger people don't know, but the infamous person that hung, I guess, hired the plane to carry the sign, you can't spell citrus without UT, you know, so because they would play in the Citrus Bowl because they'd always wind up, you know, playing second fiddle to the Gators. But, yeah, man, it's just one of those games, though. It's always a bigger game on the schedule. But this year, you know, Tennessee is kind of, you know, they're still finding themselves.
They are. All right.
And a quarterback.
And a quarterback. Also on the way, Boomer Esiason is going to join us, guys. We'll talk about the Giants' upcoming game with the Falcons as well. He is here. BJ, Brian Jones, SEC on CBS Sports. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to prove to folks that I have no relation to Vernon Jones. And, I roll with Jim Jones, the rapper, not that dude who had that strange Kool-Aid, you know, back when we were kids. Yeah, exactly. So, I'm great, man. How are you two knuckleheads?
Hey, man, stealing money, bro. Are you kicking it by the pool? Are you actually up in New York? Where are you right now?
I was kicking it by the pool, me and my two dogs, Hoya and Otto, and then I decided I better come in here and do this interview with you guys, and I'm going to go back out there and work on my tan.
Right on, man. All right, brother, we were just talking about how Tennessee and Florida used to be the big game. I mean, is Tennessee ever going to get it back together, my man?
I think they will. I thought they would lose that game to Pitt, and then Pitt goes and loses to Western Michigan. I mean, what a crazy season it looks like this is going to be, which I love. You know, keep the drama coming. So it should be interesting. Yeah, I think they will. You know, you look at Heupel and what he was able to do when he took over there at UCF, and he's got to get his type of guys in there, of course. And sometimes it takes a minute for that to occur. And you know, he's going to have folks wanting to flock to him because of success, UCF, and the way they chunk the ball around. So I think he'll eventually get it there. Florida impressed, man, especially in that second half. And as I said on our postgame show, Gary Danielson made an astute observation when he mentioned the fact that took Florida a couple quarters to get caught up with that tempo of Alabama after playing, you know, the FAUs and USFs of the world. It takes a minute to get acclimated to the rhythm of a game. And once they did that, to be able to run for 280 and to be right there in the ball game was impressive. So I think they're going to be fine. If if Emory Jones can stay away from the damn interceptions. He's still not a quarterback that throws guys open. He can hit you if you're wide open, but if he has to throw you open, he hasn't mastered that aspect of playing quarterback just yet. And if this Anthony Richardson is back, man, I'd love to see a lot more of him. He's a freak. He's different. Right. And so, you know, that cat, you got that 1-2 punch with those two. And the defense played much better in the second half. I think they had about three or four three and outs there, but couldn't get the rock back in the hands of their offense with enough time to do anything. So Florida's going to be all right. We'll see what happens with the Volunteers.
You watch him SEC on CBS, Brian Jones. Ah. See, you got me screwed up. Brian Jones.
I'm sorry for bringing up Brian Jones.
It's all right. So Alabama and Georgia seem to be above everybody else. But here's what I have to ask you. Can defense still win chips in college football? Because Georgia's defense seems to be lights out, and it's what's going to keep them in every game this season, including what I suspect them to be in the SEC championship game against Alabama. Can you win a chip with a dominant defense, or are those days gone?
Well, we got into this argument. Kevin Carter, the great Florida Gator, and of course won Super Bowls at the NFL level. He and I got into an argument back in August. Not really an argument. You know, I didn't like what he was saying. He didn't like anything that I was saying. And then the person who I was saying it to was Aaron Murray, the Georgia legend, because he stated that defenses don't win championships anymore. And I call bull dookie on that. I think they still do. To answer your question, yes. And Georgia has one of the best, if not the best, that's going right now. I mean, they'll knock the meat out of your taco. Those cats fly around like crazy. And I continue to go back to this play versus Clemson where the backside backer, they threw a tunnel screen, did Clemson, and the backside backer beat all the cats on the front side of the play to the ball. And I was like, wow. And I'm watching the game film on a plane, and I'm just yelling and screaming. They're looking at me like I'm damn crazy. And so I am so impressed with the way they play defense. Auburn, I'm going to put them in that number, maybe not their defense, but as a team. And the defense wasn't horrible, but they're going to be in the mix. You said Bama and Georgia are the best in the SEC. I think Auburn's going to be in that mix. Of course, Texas A&M, and they've got a tough one this weekend, the game we have, Arkansas and Texas A&M. Arkansas can play some damn good defense. Ask our Longhorns, Duke. I mean, they were just whipping up on my boy. We got backers that – hell, they don't know if they're coming or going. They can't find the ball half the time. But there's a reason I picked – I know, hey, they got one guy that's ready for the SEC, and that's Bijan Robinson at running back.
Yes.
Other than that, nah, that's still a work in progress. But there's a reason I didn't pick Bama to win the conference heading into the season because of all those other teams I just mentioned. A&M and their defense and Leal and Peavy on that defensive line. And their secondary, everyone goes about 6'2", 6'3". So they'll get a good test this weekend. You know, Arkansas, Ole Miss, I'm still waiting to believe in their defense. Offensively, we know what they can do. They're going to post some big numbers as they did on Bama a year ago. But defensively, we'll see what they're working with. And if Matt Corral can stay away from interception, I think he had 5 versus Arkansas last year in a game, and he's coming off a big performance with 7 touchdowns. So I still think the West is a little bit more wide open than the East. It's Georgia and Florida, in my estimation.
It is our man Brian Jones, or as Carl likes to call him, Brian Jobu Jones from the SEC on CBS.
He may be African for real.
You're a fool.
Pretty much.
Hey, man. Still, like, I mean, and by the way, I feel your pain, Longhorns. It could be worse, Brian. I'm Florida State. Let's not even go down this road. Hey,
oh, man. Yeah. You need therapy, dog.
I know. It's called brown liquor. Hey, man, A&M, you mentioned Texas A&M and Arkansas, the game you guys have this week. They got Calzada at quarterback, and the quarterback competition went late in the summer before they announced the starter who got hurt. Brian, I knew Jimbo at FSU. I mean, this offense looks nothing like those offenses at Florida State. It's tough to watch them play offense, man. They don't do anything.
A&M doesn't do anything?
No, they're slow. The pace, the quarterback's deliberate. I mean,
you must be crazy, man.
A&M?
Now, the principles don't change. The strategies do, considering who you have to work with. And this dude's got a plethora of talent on that offensive side of the ball. All those wide receivers, the tight end, Wiedemeyer. You've got Caleb Chapman, who's back. You got Anaya Smith, Arshank Spiller at the running back position. I mean, there's a reason that cat, was it Corbin, left A&M because he couldn't get back on the field after he got hurt a couple years ago. That's why he transferred to FSU. So they have a ton of talent. And Calzada, he has already showcased that he can handle the big moments, throwing that wheel route to Spiller to cap the victory there versus Colorado.
Yeah.
2 weekends ago. So he's shown he can handle that. I think you're wrong, man. This offense is cool to watch. And ask them Florida Gators, you know, if they're boring. The way they ran through them a season ago, no, I don't think they're boring. They want to lean on the running game, but yet they'll chunk it around as well.
Carl, agree to disagree.
I hear you, man. I mean, this is,
disagree.
But this is the thing, B, we're trying to figure out, like, if A&M, everybody's hyping them up, so we got to find out if they're going to be a real player. I don't disagree. The talent's been there. But they got to win some games, some meaningful games, and they haven't yet done that. So that's what looms is why we're doubtful about what's going on. You buying Oregon, by the way? Are you buying Oregon as a team that's going to be in the college football playoff?
I am now. You don't go into Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and pump Ohio State in the manner in which they did. They ran right up the gut against that defense. They had scoring plays where they ran the identical play, and they scored on it all three times. Like, damn, you don't fix that. So there's a reason why they're making changes on the defensive side of the ball, and Kerry Coombs is no longer calling the plays as a defensive coordinator because there are big-time issues there. But I think Mario Cristobal played against that dude when he was at the U, man, and I was in Texas, and we don't want to get into that discussion. But he's brought a physical brand of ball to Oregon. As he stated, it's been a process, and they may just be there, man, now, because they went there and punched Ohio State in the mouth, and I didn't envision that occurring. But I think they're for real. I'm still flummoxed by Washington stumbling out of the gates, you know, losing their first couple. We'll see if they can bring something to bear versus the Ducks, but they're definitely the leader in the clubhouse.
Hey, man, what about Notre Dame? And I know that Wisconsin is physical. Some people say Notre Dame has been living dangerously against inferior opponents. Is Wisconsin going to beat them in Chicago?
I'm not surprised if they do, but I'm going to say they don't. And you're right, Notre Dame has not been playing like Notre Dame since they whipped up on Florida. Well, they didn't whip up on them. You guys went to overtime there at Florida State. And maybe that's an indictment of Notre Dame. Maybe they're not as good as we thought because of what now their first opponent is posting. Wisconsin has a damn good defense. Jim Leonard, you know, former NFL guy, he always has a physical bunch. They've been putting guys in the league like crazy here of late from that side of the ball. And if not for a few coverage busts versus Penn State in that 16-10 loss, they possibly win that game. But the reason I can't pick Wisconsin is because of their quarterback. He gives me zero reasons to choose Wisconsin to win this game, and I'm talking about Graham Mertz, because he has zero touchdown passes through two games. And go back to last year when he won that job against Jack Cohn, who was the Notre Dame starting quarterback. Go back to last year, this guy in all the big games, he's just a 50% passer. So I'm not buying what he's selling until he can prove that he steps up in these type of ball games, because he was woeful versus Penn State. That first one, I mean, he was missing receivers and throwing interceptions. Just he was just perplexed going up against that defense. And Notre Dame's going to try to do the same. Understand Notre Dame's under new management as well with Marcus Freeman coming over from Cincinnati. So those cats are still trying to wrap their arms around what this new defensive coordinator is asking them to do. But they got a bad one in that safety. I believe he's from Atlanta, isn't he, Kyle Hamilton?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
It's
a great point about Wisconsin. It's Brian Jones here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You watch him on CBS, SEC on CBS. All right, let's talk about what's really going on. Where are you getting these suits, man? Where are you getting these suits? Come on now.
Listen, I get them from the same place I've been getting them for the last 7-8 years, Taylor Bird. T-A-I-L-O-R-B-Y.
That's your guy?
D. Taylor Bird. Those okay. are the folks, man. They hook okay. the brother up.
All right. I got to make a phone call. That blazer you had on last week, I was like,
no, it's, honestly, it's fire. It's like Michael Corleone, Godfather 2. A lot of stuff going on.
Oh, wow. Hey, Fredo. Come on.
Well, hey, man, go get your tan on. We will talk to you soon. And, of course, we'll get a chance to catch up with you this year. No pandemic. We'll be a chance to hang out, hopefully, during the SEC championship week, man.
Yeah, man, we definitely got to do that. Let's make sure that happens. And y'all stay safe. Appreciate you.
We'll As do. Always. Thank you, Brian. All right, man. Good stuff from him. He's laying out a lot of stuff there, Mike. Listen, this is why the college season is going to be crazy. What we think we know is not necessarily what we know.
No, but one thing is, you know, Georgia, even like, Carl, we get to the Final Four, the elite teams are all scoring in the 30s and 40s, right? But Georgia has a defense which maybe can reestablish. Like, the SEC is still playing better defense than anyone else, even though, college football, like the NFL, it's all about scoring. But I agree with Brian. Georgia's defense is lights out. Nobody can match what they're doing so far. Hey, man, talking to college football, the Dog Report, brought to you by Brightbox. Brightbox Electrical, B-R-I-T-E. Get the ultimate man cave, guys. There's still time to get it ready for the weekend. They can get it in now. Got to go to BrightboxElectrical.com.
All right, we shift gears and head to the NFL. Boomer Esiason's going to join us next. We'll talk Falcons Giants on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We've been talking about the Falcons Giants all week long. Both teams are desperate for a win. And Boomer Esiason joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. No one better to talk about this game and the NFL. Boomer, good to have you on the show. How desperate are the Giants? I mean, 0-2 is one thing, but they have the worst record in the NFL since 2016?
Yeah, they've been that bad. And thanks for having me on, Carl and Mike. I appreciate it. Yeah, they've been that bad. They've been trying to find their way. And, you know, they thought that they were going to start. Well, I'm assuming that everybody thinks that they're going to start with wins. And unfortunately, they found themselves right back to where they've been the last 5 years, and that's 0-2. But I'll say it's kind of a weird 0-2. They played reasonably well in both of their games. Daniel Jones has gotten better. He hasn't been turning the ball over nearly as much as he has the previous 2 years. And he's a really athletic quarterback. So, you know, listen to Dante Fowler there in the update and everything else talking about getting sacks. You know, they've had trouble with running quarterbacks, and this is one of them. And he runs more than people realize. I mean, he runs as much as Josh Allen has ran in the past. He runs as much as Kyler Murray runs around. He runs as much as Lamar Jackson, although they don't really run him as much as the way that the Ravens run Lamar Jackson. But he's a tremendously talented athlete back there at quarterback. The big thing with him is just his processing is not as fast as you'd like it to be. He's a little bit tentative at times, but I think, you know, the game against Washington that they had last week, he really stepped forward and played probably his best game as a Giant. So I think maybe the light has gone on, the switch has gone on for him. But, you know, they're like the Falcons right now. All these 7-0-2 teams go into this weekend or this week, including, you know, the Indianapolis Colts of all teams, really, really worrying about where their season is headed, and this is why they have to win this. But, you know, this is panic is setting in all across the NFL for these teams. And right. I look at the Falcons and I say, you know, if they can win at the Giants, which they can do, believe me, you know, their next three games against the Washington football team, the Jets and the Dolphins, don't look so, you know, all that difficult compared to what they did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before the bottom fell out.
We didn't have our guys really ready, and even the coaches, Dean Pease, Boomer, our DC, said some of these guys are just learning the system. I mean, it seemed like it was a strange preseason for some teams, not using their starters. How do you approach this? I mean, we turned over the roster, and it just seems like we're a little behind the eight ball getting things rolling here with an all-new system.
You know, yeah, I kind of feel bad for, you know, Matt Ryan a little bit. So it's a really it's a hard business, and there have to be, you know, difficult decisions are made. And, you know, he and Julio Jones were about as good as any – pair has ever been in this league. And when you lose that guy for whatever reason, you know, maybe he's not the same player, maybe he's making too much money, maybe you have to move money around in order to, you know, bring other players in, maybe he was unhappy, and we don't really know all the facts as to why, you know, they traded him to Tennessee. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Matt's an older player, he's more of a statue back there, he's a stationary quarterback. You know, he's got his one guy, Calvin Ridley. He's trying to work out, you know, Kyle Pitts into the mix, and Kyle looks like he's going to be a great player, but I just don't know if it's going to sync up, you know, with Matt's you know, age and where they are together, and you know, what are the Falcons? Are they a team that's rebuilding? Are they a team that, you know, thinks that they can compete right now? And this is like, I think if they can win this game, like, this is a 50-50 proposition for both of these teams this weekend. But if the Falcons could win this game, I don't see why they can't win their next three games. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there and you're going, wow, you know, we're 4-2. And but then again, they're also a team that's in the mix to be, you know, lose all these games. So this is a time where, you know, it needs to come together for them offensively, especially because their offense is not nearly what it used to be. And maybe it was the loss of Kyle Shanahan. Who knows if we go back that far, but it's just a shell of what it used to be.
Boomer, I've been very adamant about Joe Judge, you know, the tough talk, you know, preaching discipline. Looked like an undisciplined football team last week, 11 penalties. You know, you talk about clock management, coaching mistakes. You got guys on the sideline fussing at each other, whether it's right or wrong. What do you make of Joe Judge?
You know, I actually do like him. You know, I'm a little bit more old school, and, you know, I get to hear him every day here in New York. He's this week he had to deal with social media and the players, what seemed to be the players yelling at them, you know, yelling at each other on the sideline, when in fact it was one player yelling at a coach. So he had to straighten all that out for us. You know, they had a long weekend because they played on Thursday night. So there was a lot of stuff that was bubbling around that team. The drama was building, if you will. And when they came back to work this week, you know, he kind of set the record straight for everybody. And when you look at it and the way that Kenny Golladay was acting on the sideline, you realize that, you know, Daniel Jones is the unquestioned leader of the team, because he wasn't yelling at his quarterback. He was yelling at his offense coordinator. And Daniel Jones never, ever led anybody to believe that it wasn't him that Kenny Golladay was yelling at. So to me, that's leadership personified. It's being humble. It's taking the slings and arrows until, you know, the media really dug deep into the whole situation on the sideline. So Joe Judge did have to, deal with all of that stuff earlier in the week. You know, they have a rookie wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, that, you know, they wanted Devontae Smith, and the Philadelphia Eagles jumped up in front of them in the draft and got Devontae. So they ended up taking Kadarius Toney out of Florida. And Kadarius has been a mess since he's got here. So, you know, the first practice in the summer, he showed up with one shoe. Practice with one shoe is ridiculous. I don't know what was going on there. Then he decided to not come back for OTAs. Then he had a COVID situation. Then he had another leg injury. And they really just can't seem to get, you know, this is Kyle Pitts' teammate from Florida, can't seem to get him in the flow right now. So it's been a little bit of a frustrating time for their younger players. But you know, they're a good team on paper. Their defense is not nearly as good as it was last year. That's probably a little bit more concerning for everybody. And Saquon Barkley is, you know, I don't know, he's still feeling the effects of the knee. He has not really hit the ball up inside and taking it up in between the tackle. He's trying to bounce everything outside, looking like he's trying to protect himself. So, you know, this is going to be a telltale game for both of these teams. There's no question about that, guys.
You recognize the voice, guys. It's a Boomer Esiason from the NFL on CBS. Is you think Saquon will get more workload, or it's going to be kick gloves for him again?
It can't be. You know, sooner or later, you just got to let the guy go. I mean, he's been on the field for about 75 to 80% of the plays. I mean, how many touches he's getting, it's a whole another situation. And, you know, that's up to Jason Garrett, their offensive coordinator. He's got to be mindful, obviously, of the knee. And I got to tell you, the first two games between the Broncos and the Washington football team, you see him hopping around. I mean, he's putting pressure on the knee. I mean, he's trying to get outside, and he always tries to bounce outside. He's not, like I said, he's not a guy that's going to stick it up in between the tackles. So, you know, they drafted him thinking he was going to be a Hall of Fame running back.
Right.
And, you know, they're kind of silly right now when you think back to the initial comments. But there's a lot of pressure on that young man to really get back and justify where they picked him in that draft. So I would think that, you know, you're going to see a heavy dose of him this weekend simply because he's had 10 days off.
Boomer, let's talk about the other team in New York, and I want to get your opinion on the quarterback. You're watching him up close there, Zach Wilson. Looks like he's got the moxie, but last week, you know, four picks. You're a quarterback. You've been through those games.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough, man. I feel bad for Zach Wilson, but I also felt bad for Sam Darnold when he was here. You know, Sam Darnold just basically got caught up in the wash here. They had two coaches, two general managers, instability at the top of the franchise, which is the worst thing that can happen to any quarterback. And now Sam has found second life with the Carolina Panthers. We'll see him tonight against Houston. Texas got much better players around him. Christian McCaffrey makes the engine go. Joe Brady is a a tremendous offensive coordinator for Carolina, and we can already see that Sam Darnold's a different player than he was when he was here in New York. But Zach Wilson, you know, he and Trevor Lawrence are playing hero ball right now. They're trying to show everybody that they belong in the NFL. They're not really sure about what they're seeing on the field. We all have gone through it as quarterbacks. It's a real steep learning curve, and these kids got thrown to the wolves. You know, the teams around them are not that good. This is not the Seattle Seahawks when Russell Wilson took over. So they're going to struggle. They're going to be some of the worst teams in the league. We all can kind of see that. But we also know that they do, and they can play. They can throw. They can make all the throws. They look great. What you just don't want to have happen is them to get hurt where they can't protect themselves when they play against some of the better defenses that they're going to see throughout the year. And hopefully they don't have a Joe Burrow moment. What they do is they grow and they get better each and every week, much like Justin Herbert did last year for the Chargers.
Right. It is a Boomer Esiason, guys. We're breaking down the NFL. We will see the Jets. That's the London game, by the way. And as Boomer laid out, right, things might actually, you know, work out for us. Knock wood. By the way, you excited to see what Fields can do in Chicago? I mean, we all knew he was going to be the guy, but you think he can handle it?
Well, you know, again, it's the million-dollar question. It's the same thing with Trey Lance in San Francisco. The difference between, I think, you know, Chicago and San Francisco from the Jets and from the Jacksonville Jaguars, they have alternatives there. They have veteran guys there. As a matter of fact, they have highly paid veteran guys. So Andy Dalton's making $10 million and Jimmy Garoppolo's making $25 million. So those coaches want to win. And I do believe that Kyle Shanahan thinks he can win, obviously, with Jimmy Garoppolo, as long as Jimmy Garoppolo can stay on the field. The biggest knock against him was that he just always is injured. It's like Carson Wentz in Indianapolis this year. These kids can't stay on the field. And, you know, so I just, you know, my thing is that you got to stay on the field. And I don't necessarily know that Justin Fields is ready. I've watched the tape of the Bears. I watched his game last week when he took over for Andy Dalton. He had an oh man moment there in the fourth quarter where he threw an interception and it almost cost the team the game. So there are a lot of things that he has to work on. And this week he goes on the road to Cleveland, and Cleveland has a tremendous pass rush. That Myles Garrett is the closest thing that I've seen to Bruce Smith at in the NFL. He and Chase Young are just absolute freaks at their position. So good luck, Justin Fields. I'm sure that he is going to be relying on his athleticism to get out of trouble. And, you know, because they're on the road and they're in Cleveland, you know, Matt Nagy is going to have to basically simplify the offense just so the kid doesn't overthink things and so he can play with a clear mind as best as he can. So I'm interested to see how he does. I don't think he's going to have great success this weekend, though.
Boomer, great job as always, man. We love watching you. Keep up the great work up there, and appreciate you jumping on with us today.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Boomer Esiason breaking down the Giants and a bunch of other things around the NFL. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We got more to get to, guys, including the Matt Ryan report. What is Matt saying about this Giants front? You're going to hear it coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as part of our Falcon report. But coming up, we're going to get to some guy talk, and also, or should I say, some yeah man, no man coming up here next. And then we'll get to the Falcon Report, guys. Out early today, 6 o'clock, because, again, I'm listening. That's what it's called, from 6 to 8, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a really cool thing. We've been telling you about it over the last week or two. And if you're not had a chance to really grasp what's going on, it's insight from some of the most respected mental health professionals as we strive to destigmatize talking about mental health. So they've got entertainers, athletes, a bunch of people that are coming together for this very special program tonight here across the country on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and all Odyssey stations. All right, we're coming back. Plenty more to get to. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man. Brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings. Chicken wings and other things. Three locations around Metro Atlanta to get your wings on, whether it's tonight watching some Thursday night football over the weekend. Don't show up empty-handed to a party, guys. You can bring like gazillions of wings, and they got Hey Man Ale at all three locations, man. So go to Hoots Wings, chicken wings and other things. All right, buddy boy, good conversation with Boomer. By the way, hats off to our producers, Squid and Chris, doing a great job today. It was some big-name guests. You know, we don't give those guys enough kudos, Carl. Good job. We didn't get a chance to talk to Boomer, and I didn't want to ruin it because it was such a cool conversation as we were going all around the league and breaking down the Giants and the Falcons. But I wanted to mention to him about a guy that I played high school football with named John Cosenza. Did I ever tell you this story, Carl?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, then that would have been perfect. But again, we're getting good intel, and I want to jack it up. I'll save it for Guy Talk. So John was like the best athlete. He was a year ahead of me. He was class of 85. And play catcher for the baseball team, quarterback for the football. I mean, he's just the best athlete in the high school for that class. And one day he comes to us in the locker room, and because I was special teams captain, and he comes to us and he calls a meeting. He goes, "Hey guys, it would really mean a lot to me if from now on you refer to me as Boomer." And everybody's like, "What?" He was a huge Boomer Esiason fan.
Oh.
Boomer Esiason played his high school football in Long Island for East Islip. We were in Wanto, Nassau County. He actually had a poster of it, like a picture in his locker of Boomer Esiason. So he had man love for Boomer. So literally, so you met my buddy Munson. So she goes, "Guys, you mean a lot to me from now on. You call me Boomer." And there's like a pause, like 1001. Munson's like, "Get the blank out of here." everybody starts laughing. It's like, "What are you, stupid? No, we're not calling you Boomer, you idiot." I go, "Boomer's got the nickname because he was kicking a lot when he was in his mom's womb. That's where it comes from. A name is all, like we always joke around, a nickname is not, you don't just come here one day and go, I would like to be known." No. Nicknames are bestowed upon people like we do here at the radio station, right?
Yeah, man.
I got a bunch of buddies who are big Boomer fans who are listening online, so I know they get a kick out of that story because we're always making fun of John.
So at that point, Boomer is where? How old is he?
He's at Maryland. He's a star in Maryland.
So he wants to live up to Boomer's legacy and wants to be called Boomer. Okay.
But again, there's no connection. You're John Cosenza. We're not calling you Boomer.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're just John.
By the way, it is a cool name. And that stuck with him. Yes. It just is. And so,
but imagine,
you know,
like one day, from now on, Carl, I would like you to call me Lefty.
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, right? Out of nowhere.
For now, I'm known as Lefty Bell. What? Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't want to bog down this NFL conversation with Boomer on that. Hey, man, a couple of things going down. Starting off with Stephen A. kind of stepped in it a little bit today.
Uh-oh.
I guess it was just misconstrued, quite frankly. Talking that if they could, then Brooklyn Nets would like to get their hands on Ben Simmons, and that Kyrie would be facilitating, at least telling to the team. Oh, check that. Kevin Durant would be telling the team, "Yeah, let's get Ben Simmons in here." And he had to correct himself. No. There's a great dynamic between Durant and Kyrie Irving, and I'm just saying his voice carries him weight. But no, they're not interested in Ben Simmons. So which one is it?
So I had heard.
What
I had heard was that if they made that deal, Kyrie had threatened to be done. So I don't know if that's true. You know, again, that would be a personal decision for Kyrie. But basically, Ben Simmons goes to the Nets. He doesn't have to shoot because you've got Harden and Durant. All he has to do is facilitate and play D. So from that standpoint, you go, okay, it kind of makes sense. But I also heard, Mike, part of the reason why this is being talked about is, let's just be honest, the whole Kyrie makeup and shenanigans is running thin.
Well, again, Kyrie, guys, is literally one press conference away from just forgetting the NBA and walking the earth like Kane in Kung Fu, right? He's talked about that. So I don't know. It was interesting, but Stephen A. was like, no, that's not what I meant. But anyway, people ran with it.
Thank you.
So I was in the gym today, and I was on the treadmill, and I almost took a picture of the television from ESPN because Stephen A. was drinking his coffee, making the Stephen A. face. I forget who the other guest was making a mean mug, and Orlovsky was, like, screaming. So it was like literally, like, three cartoon faces on the split screen. Anyway, hey, man, pretty cool. I woke up this morning, and HBO, as they're trying to promote the new Sopranos movie, the Saints of Newark and all that, they're running season one today and then season two tomorrow. So if you want to get caught up, just set your DVR. And for younger guys, you know, we always rave about stuff like The Wire and HBO, and I love Sopranos. Well, anyway, the reason I mention it is I read the review today from from Entertainment Weekly about the many Saints of Newark. This is a Sopranos prequel, if you will, and James Gandolfini's son plays the young Tony Soprano, and he looks just like him, and it's amazing. His son Michael has got the role. Anyway, really good reviews. They're saying, I mean, if you love The Sopranos, you're going to love this. And you get the backstory on a lot of the characters, including the Chris Moltisanti. That was the Michael Imperioli character. And why Tony always handled and stayed with him, even though he was a complete screw-up, because how much he loved his dad. Well, anyway, you get all that backstory. So I was reading the reviews. They said, again, if you're not a Sopranos fan, you probably won't get it. But if you are, you're going to love it.
Yeah. And you know what? Who's the director, Mike?
It's David Chase.
Chase, he did an interview recently and was like, look, I didn't want to tell the same story. Mm-hmm. So he was adamant about, this is not, if you think you're going to see Sopranos, this is not that. This is, he wanted to make a gangster movie, you know, and that's pretty much what he talks about. So I'm curious to see how it differs, but the characters, because we're familiar with them in a younger part of their life, how that plays out. But he was like, this is not The Sopranos. This is going to be something different. So I want to see it.
There was a scene with Edie Falco, who played, you know, Tony's wife, but apparently that scene made it to the cutting room floor as far as the new Sopranos. Hey, we got time for one more story before we get to the birthdays. We're big Vegas fans. Can't wait to get back there for some big fights if we ever can. There's a new hotel which they're planning, Carl. It's going to be shaped like the moon. It's going to be right across from Wynn, an Encore at Wynn, just south of, you know, Las Vegas Boulevard, south of Resort World, so the northern end of the strip, the Vegas Strip. Carl, it's literally going to be shaped like the moon. It's going to be moon-shaped. That's the best. So it's going to be totally circular. You've seen Luxor, obviously the pyramid. But this thing is going to be a really big 75-story moon. It is 1/75,000 size of a replica of the moon, Carl. 5.5 billion square feet.
Wow.
735 feet tall, 650 feet wide. And the moon will sit on a three-floor platform. So whenever they're going to start working on this, so I guess they feel the economy is robust enough to put this thing in motion.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that was the other part. You know, a lot of those places, especially on that end, Mike, remember, after 08, a lot of those hotels didn't get finished. And now there's a new one down there right now. I can't think of the name of it, but it just opened like last year, and then there's a bunch of new stuff downtown. I'm curious to see that, though. That's what makes Vegas unique. They always come up with these different ideas, and people go, all right, I'm going to go check it out.
Drunk Larry's in Vegas right now. He butt-dialed me, by the way, today. I had a minute and a half of him checking into the Mirage.
Oh, this guy, he's such a...
Literally, I can hear the slap machines ding, 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 ding in the background. I'm like, Larry, your phone's on. Let's hit the closing bell. See if we make some money. Hey, man, brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. The Dow closed 500 points higher. Major averages.
Yay!
Making some loot. Things are good. S&P was up 53. NASDAQ was up 155. So, good day. Let's try to bounce back. We had a bad day earlier in the week. Closing bell brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Get the IRS off your butt with pros. Hey, birthdays today. Atlanta United's Mo Adams, our buddy, is 25 today. Jermaine Dupri is 49 today.
Yeah, man. Welcome to Atlanta.
What a play is play. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, is 72. Always seems like a nice guy and gives his fans what they want to see. Big 3-hour shows. Anthony Mackie, I know you're a big Avengers fan, And he's taking over with Captain America, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did the spinoff on Disney Plus, which was great. And yeah, man, I mean, I'm curious to see where these parallel stories go. That's how they grow the franchise.
Right. George Costanza, also known as Jason Alexander, he is 62 today. And boy, you never think of a guy more typecast than Jason Alexander. I mean, he's done some other things and he's done, you know, other roles, but you'll always be George. Just like Kramer will always be Kramer. 87 Masters winner Larry Mize is 63. John Harbaugh, there's a coach you'd like to have a beer with. He's 59 today. Marvin Lewis, 63. Marty Schottenheimer would be 78 today. He passed away last year.
Yeah.
Ray Charles, John Coltrane for you music fans, Mickey Rooney, and Kubla Khan. Not Chaka Khan, Carly, but Kubla Khan. He got it in. He built a pleasure dome. You can read it up on it. He did. It was a big, big, giant, enormous party palace. He got it in, man. There's your guy talk on a Thursday.
Hey, man, coming up, you're going to hear from Matt Ryan. What does he think about the Giants' front, their team, and their chances heading into Sunday? The Matt Ryan Report's on the way as part of the Falcon Report on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.